he introduced the world of Major League Baseball to the wonders of sports psychology. And he did it in a most unique and unusual way. You know the old Yogi Berra expression that half of this game is 90% mental. I don't know if Dorfman ever met Yogi, but trust me on this. Harvey certainly agreed with Yogi. Baseball, which is a game based upon constant failure and daily disappointment, is pockmarked by all sorts of mental distractions, obsessions, anxieties, and even superstitions. Harvey knew all of this, inhaled it all, and helped pro players of all stripes come to terms with their fears. A man of apparent contradictions, Harvey was a most educated and literate gentleman. He was a man of letters, a true scholar. Yet, to better communicate with ballplayers, he could swear like a drunken sailor, with enough profanity mixed in to peel paint off a wall. Harvey offered no apology for this approach. He just knew that ballplayers would feel more comfortable with him if he spoke the language of dugouts. But Harvey was indeed a lifelong lover of books. When I first met him and his lovely wife, Anita, at their home in Prescott, Arizona, an entire side of their living room wall was stacked from floor to ceiling with books and more books. Originally trained as a high school English teacher, Dorfman consumed the New York Times Book Review each week, in much the same way he would go over the daily baseball box scores. Back in the 1970s, Harvey, Anita, and their two kids resided in Vermont, where Dorfman taught in a small private school and wrote newspaper columns. He was very proud that he coached the school's girls' basketball team to great success. But during the summer months, Dorfman would attend Vermont Expo's minor league games. And it was there that he befriended Carl Kuehl, who oversaw the Expo's minor league system. Over the course of that summer, Kuehl became so impressed with Dorfman's approach to baseball that when Kuehl left the Expos to join the Oakland Athletics, he made sure to hire Harvey as a kind of mental skills coach. This was a totally new concept. Understand that this was unprecedented in organized baseball. For example, when I was playing in the Detroit Tigers organization in the early 1970s, after having studied psychology as an undergraduate at Harvard, the prevailing attitude in pro baseball was that any player who needs to talk to a shrink needs to have his head examined. As such, when Dorfman was hired by Oakland, this was a monumental breakthrough for sports psychology. But in truth, Harvey was never trained as a psychologist. He was a school teacher and coach. He never had a doctorate in psychology. But he possessed one amazing skill. He knew how to communicate with ballplayers. He knew how to get them to open up about their fears, worries, and insecurities. And then, once the superstar millionaire ballplayer would confide in Harvey about his batting slump or how he can't throw strikes anymore, Harvey would actively listen. But he didn't offer sympathy or offer a kindly smile. Rather, just the opposite. Harv would roar at the player and demand in a loud voice, "Okay, hotshot, you're hitting under the Mendoza line. Tell me, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to make the appropriate adjustments?" In other words, Harvey was very big on getting players to confront their shortcomings and failings. Harvey would often tell me that he saw his job to hold a mirror to these guys, so they could deal with their issues. "Hey," Harvey would bark at me, "somebody has to tell these guys the truth. That's my job." Trust me, Harvey was not big on telling major leaguers to just take a deep breath or to just think positive thoughts. Harvey didn't put any stock in those approaches. Ironically, these days it seems that lots of sports psychologists who work for major league teams do offer that kind of Pollyanna advice. Harvey would scoff, "Don't give me any of that hold hands and sing kumbaya BS. That's not going to get you to hit better.